Next on Westmoreland Saturday Morning, it's Heritage Happenings brought to you by St. Vincent College here on 98.7 Westmoreland Gold, 1480 WCNS, and this is gold.net.
Greetings, Westmoreland County. My name is Louise Henry, and I am your guest host of Heritage Happenings here on 98.7 Westmoreland Gold, 1480 WCNS, and this is gold.net, sponsored by St. Vincent College. Heritage Happenings is also available as a podcast on all of your favourite streaming services. Please check out Westmoreland Heritage at westmorelandheritage.org and on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram for updates on cultural and historical events throughout Westmoreland County. On today's show, we will be talking to the Murraysville Historical Preservation Society about their upcoming programmes and latest news. Then we'll get some great information from the Greater La Trobe Parks and Recreation Department about late summer and fall schedule. So our first guest today is Sue Ellen Watt, and she is on call with us from Murraysville Historical Preservation Society. Good morning, Sue Ellen.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
Oh, very well. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Now, you're a volunteer at Murraysville Historical Preservation Society, and every September, for quite a few years now, they have hosted a heritage festival. So can you tell us a little bit about that event for this year?
Yes, absolutely. On September the 18th, from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., we're going to be hosting our 10th annual Murraysville Heritage Festival. And it's going to be located at the Sampson Clark Log House grounds at 5302 West Pike Street in Murraysville. Our theme is going to be the Schoolhouse on the Pike, and this day-long event will include live music by Celtic Cole and a schoolhouse lunchbox by reservation only, with living history demonstrations. We have reenactors and traders. Settlers will also come. We have crafts, vendors, games, pony rides for the children, and, of course, food. So you can also enjoy visiting the Sampson Clark Toll House on the same grounds that date back to the 1790s. We will also have a kitchen garden and a Three Sisters garden to be able to show.
Hey, and can you just expand a little bit? For those that don't know, expand a little bit about the Three Sisters Garden?
Oh, yes. The Three Sisters Garden has to be with corn, beans, and squash. And they used it. The Indians taught them how to do it. You have the lower growth to take care of the weeds. Then you have the upper growth that's nourished by the fish that's in the ground, and then the squash. And so you always had to grow these three in order for it to be, you know, conducive and be able to get a good harvest. You grew them together.
Right. Very, very clever and very, very resourceful.
Yes.
So going back to the event, is there any cost in the admission for this?
Yes, there is. The suggested donation for the admission is $5 per car, and parking is available at the Triangle Business Complex between the Cozy Inn Cutoff and Rick's Sports Bar on Route 22 east of Murraysville.
Now, the parking, is that just a short walk to the actual historic site?
Yes, absolutely. And okay. For people who have handicap access or have difficulty, we have little carts that will come and take you with their motorized, and they'll be able to scoot you back and forth. It's a very short way. It's probably about 50 yards
okay.
for them to be able to get into the grounds. And then the grounds are flat.
Oh, that's always good. That's always good to get about if you've got strollers or wheelchairs.
Correct.
That kind of thing. So were you going back to the living history demonstrations, you say reenactors. Now, I'm understanding this is probably 18th century reenactors are portraying 18th century colonial
Correct.
Times. Yeah.
Correct. 18th century. And it goes all the way up. Since we have the Sampson Clark Schoolhouse, we have it goes back to 1861 is what I'm going to be doing inside the schoolhouse. So we're going to have reenactors for the Revolutionary War. Many of them are going to be in that area. And then I'm going to be 1861 inside the schoolhouse as a school marm.
Okay, that's great. So basically, you know, your visitors can really stroll through the past and just see how things progress through time. So that'd be really educational for folks.
It is. It's a real living history, because you're going to see people dressed, doing some daily activities, and you're going to be able to see what they're doing, experience some of the things that they're doing. Like, we have beekeepers, we have people that make bullets. I mean, children can come over and make a little musket bullet, you know, and be able to see how it's done. And we have fur traders and Indians. I mean, it's just wonderful. It's a very, very event. It's an eventful. It's living history.
Good.
Literally.
Oh, I love it. Absolutely brilliant. So just to go back to, you've got some live music as well. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. The music that's going to be performed is going to be in the Samson Clark Schoolhouse, and there's limited spacing, but there's going to be live performances that are going to be from 11:30 to 12:15 and 1 to 1:45. And these are tickets that are $10 per person, which will include a school lunch box. And if you want to do this, the reservation, because there is limited seating, you need to call 724-516-0126 to make the reservation. And you'll be able to have a lunch box during these two particular times that they will be doing the music while you have your lunch box inside the schoolhouse.
Well, that's very cool. So I like that idea. So we've got music, you've got living history presentations, demonstrations going on, pony rides, and you've got some vendors and kids' activities as well. So an all-round great day out at Murraysville Historical Preservation Society. And again, that's on September the 18th, and it starts at
11 a.m.
Okay, and rounds up about 5.
Till 5 p.m., correct.
Brilliant. Now, tell us a little bit about you, Sue Ellen, because you are one of the valuable volunteers of the Historical Society. How did you get involved, and what's your role there?
I started 6 years ago. I went to one of their events, and I saw the gal doing some calligraphy, and she really needed help, so I kind of helped her. I ended up becoming good friends with her. She explained it to me, and I started going to the meetings. And the group's wonderful. I mean, I had other reenactors literally give me some clothing, and then I got patterns. I made my outfit by hand, and I was considered, I did some research, I was considered a French-Canadian. My mother was Indian. My father was a French professor that escaped from France during their revolution, came over to Canada. I was born in Canada and became a governess because I could speak several languages. I spoke French, I spoke in Iroquois, and I spoke English. So I became a governess for a family in Philadelphia, and to pay off my indentured service, I was a governess for 7 years, finished my indentured service, and then traveled west to the wilderness in the Westmoreland County and was there. So that's what I did during the Revolutionary War time, and I became a school marm. I was a schoolmistress or a school marm and taught school during this period of time. Now, when you go fast forward to the Samson Clark Schoolhouse, now I'm 1861, so you jump ahead another 100 years. It's a different outfit. And I'm a school marm in the one-room schoolhouse for the Samson Clark School.
That is quite an interesting persona you've built up there for your frontier woman, 18th century reenacting living history demonstration. That's very interesting to know. Now, you must have done quite a bit of research, I'd imagine, because talking about being a governess, I guess you've researched about schools or what there was of a schools in the county. Can you share some of your findings?
Yes, absolutely. Before 1800, there were no records of early schools in Westmoreland County or Franklin Township. The schools really began, typically they were one-room variety served by a schoolmaster. And the schools were usually associated with churches where the ministers did the school teaching. And interesting, it was said that the Scotch-Irish settlers stressed at minimum that the education of their children should enable them to at least read the Bible. So many families did expound on that. And many schools were started by families coming together to subscribe a schoolmaster to teach their children. Some of the schools were associated with churches, and family-run schools would agree to support a teacher. Then patrons were called as subscribers, and the teachers were often, later on, would even call a local farmer to earn money, and that he would come and teach the school on the winter months. And the fees were 25 cents per child. So usually that was assessed as a subscription school. And they were crudely constructed schools. They only had one door. They had one window covered with oil paper to admit a bit of light. And they were typically built 1 to 2 days and just had split logs and were used on the floors. So the children had some basic reading and writing skills.
Gosh, I mean, that's quite a lot of work. When you say it was raised in 2 days, that is a lot of work. That must have been quite a crew of people to come together to do that. I mean, just hewing the logs.
Right.
Those days, you haven't got any machinery. It's all by hand.
Absolutely. And they couldn't take a long time because, you know, they have to keep food on the table for their families. They have to keep the harvest going. They have to keep everything going. So they can't say, gee, I'm going to take a whole week's vacation and build this school. That didn't happen. You know, they had to be able to even rotate people to come in. You know, you might give an afternoon. You're not going to give 2 full days because your family's not going to have any food the next day. So, you know, they did what they had to do and rotated to be able to get these schools up and going for their children.
Right. And I bet these schools were very basic. You mentioned the word crude. I mean, can you just tell us a little bit, describe what if we walked into one of these schoolhouses back then, what would they have looked like?
The furniture was very simple. Benches were made with slabs of wood resting on low blocks. On each side of the room, there were wooden boards that were attached to logs to provide writing desks. Pegs were driven into walls just to hang the coats and the hats, and the fireplace occupied one end of the room. Kindling had to be come each day, and by the way, that was one of the jobs of the children, was the kindling to keep out the cold and dampness in the room because this was winter months. And then later on, in my school with the Sampson Clark in 1861, they included more supplies. There was maps. There was a globe. There were writing quills with ink wells and slates and chalk and perhaps the podium and the teacher's desk. And if possible, maybe even a McGuffey reader. You know, you might not get 30 books, but you could have 1 or 2 books. And always they had available a Bible that was used for writing letters and reading. So a lot of schools, if they didn't have a book, the teacher had the Bible, and that's how the children learned.
Wow, such a difference, isn't it, to what they have today? Now, we literally have about a minute left, so quickly tell us about the Sampson Clark Schoolhouse that Marysville Historical Preservation Society has rebuilt.
Okay, the rebuilt Sampson Clark Schoolhouse sits on the site of the original Nancy Clark School, and it was rebuilt last year by the Amish under us, the Marysville Society and Ben Sampson. It's located, again, at this toll house on West Pike Street in Marysville, and it can accommodate 20 students, and that's where I'm going to be posted. I'm in the schoolhouse, and we have a big bell. We ring the bell, and so every 15, 20 minutes when the bell rings, people come in, and we do a tour, and you get to write with a quill pen on the desk, and we have a health inspection, and I run a one-room schoolhouse for the people to come in.
That is a really cool experience. And I know from firsthand that writing with a quill is not as easy as you think.
Correct.
Is very cool. So quickly recap, where can our listeners find more information about this great event, this Heritage Days on September the 18th at Marysville Historical Preservation Society?
Okay, we have a website at MarysvilleHistory.com. And also our Facebook page, Marysville Historical Preservation Society.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Sue Ellen. It's been a joy to chat to you today. Thank you for being our guest. I know you're a busy lady. I wish you a great event. Again, folks, September the 18th, it's Heritage Days Festival at Marysville Historical Preservation Society. And it starts at 11 o'clock. Thanks, Sue Ellen, and I'll speak to you soon.
Thank you so much, Louise. It was an honor to be here. Thank you again.
This is Heritage Happenings, the show with the latest information on Westmoreland County cultural and historic events and organizations. I'm Louise Henry, your guest host. Thank you to our sponsor, St. Vincent College, for supporting our show today. Our next guest is Craig Shevchik, Director of Greater Latrobe Parks and Recreation, and he's going to talk to us about the latest happenings in Latrobe. Good morning, Craig. Thanks for being our guest today.
Hey, good morning. It's great to be on with you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, it's good always to chat to you. Now, what is occurring in Latrobe, Craig? I understand we may have a banana split festival happening today. Tell us more.
Yes, it's very, very exciting. It's about time. We have some festivities down here at the city of Latrobe. So we have the annual banana split, which is usually a three-day event. It's packed down to one, which is occurring today with the 5K run and walk happening at the stadium. If you're not too late, if you want to run down there, you can get started about 9:30. And if you're a little bit late riser, we have some activities happening down at Legion Keener Park. Car show starting around noon, bands at 1 o'clock, and they're playing all the way through, I think, 8 o'clock down at Legion Keener Park. A lot of exciting things that the chamber and the committee has planned: pie eating contest, goat yoga, if you can believe that.
I've heard about this. What is this? What, goats actually sort of stand on your back or something? Or how does it work?
Yeah. Yeah, I believe actually it was a very popular 2 years ago when they had the festival, so they brought it back since we were in hiatus last year. So I guess it's a popular thing. I don't know, but I guess never knock it till you try it, right?
Right.
So that's going on down there. So if you're interested, stop that around 6 o'clock. That's going on down there. And then the headliner, the band, it's called In the Stick Band. So they play like country rock and roll and stuff. So it should be, there's all kinds of activities for the kids and vendors. So please stop down and see us down here at Legion Keener Park.
Okay. And for those that are not too familiar with Latrobe and where Legion Keener Park is, what's the GPS address location to get there and park up the car?
Now you're putting me on the spot. If they just put Legion Keener Park in, it should come up. Or they can just visit bananasplitfest.com, and it has directions and all the activities listed.
Okay, so you have lots of food and craft vendors going on. You got food trucks down there?
Correct. Yeah, I don't have the list in front of me, but I know there are some food trucks down there, and again, some crafters and some farmers market people down there, and some kids crafts, the arts center, library, everybody's participating, so it should be a nice day.
Great, and of course the car show as well, live music again. Just to recap, what's the band again?
The headliner is In the Sticks Band.
Okay, and that's, you said,
That's at 6:30, but there are bands going off about every hour down at Legion Keener Park all day.
Sounds great, guys. So if you've got nothing planned today, get on down to the Banana Split Festival in Latrobe at Legion Keener Park. It's going on all day, I think 12 to 8 p.m. Sounds like a blast. Now, you also have a load of other stuff happening in Latrobe. So I've got a long list here you gave me. Let's just work through for the fall. You've got a daddy-daughter dance. When's that happening?
Yeah, we're very excited. We're putting out our fall and winter brochure. We actually just updated our software, getting ready for one of our most popular seasons, which is actually the fall and winter, if you can believe it. But, yeah, our daddy-daughter dance, it's going to be called Boots and Bling, and that's when a dad or a father figure brings their best young lady or their favorite young ladies, and then we have a bunch of different games and activities, and we get into the theme. So Boots and Bling, so we'll see. We hopefully will see girls in nice dresses, but with the cowgirl hat on with the boots, and then, you know, we hopefully to see maybe some overalls with some jewels and bling going on with some tiaras. So we're excited on how people will dress up and get into the festivities. It is a wonderful memory for dads and father figures alike to spend with their special ones.
That sounds like fun. Do you have a date for that?
Yeah, we actually do. It's February 19th.
Okay. So it's a little way off.
And again, all this will be updated shortly on our website, so we're excited.
Okay, and where do you actually hold those daddy-daughter dances?
So daddy-daughter dances actually at the senior high school.
Okay.
In the Center of Student Creativity.
Okay, I know exactly where that is. All right. So that's February 19th. So guys, put that on your calendar to spend the evening with your daughter. Now, just working down this list, Twisted Trivia. What's that about?
Yeah, so now Twisted Trivia, now we're getting into more of an adult program. We partner with the Art Center. This is probably our fifth time doing it. And these are popular at your local bars and your brew pubs. But Twisted Trivia is made, we have a gentleman that comes and he has trivia games that he plays, and we're break up into teams, and we have some adult beverages that you bring to the Art Center, and we have a lot of fun, joke around, and see how smart we are.
Or not. It depends on what you do.
That's right. That's right. And again, that's a Friday night at the Art Center on November 12th.
Okay, so November 12th. Okay, and is that evenings, did you say?
That is in the evening. That's a 6 to 9 program.
Okay, that sounds like a lot of fun, actually. You get a little group together and see how well you know stuff. So the Latrobe Farmers Market, that has been going on all summer. When does that wrap up for the year?
Yeah, so our Farmers Market, we again held down at Legion Keener Park every Tuesday, and we'll be ending up probably October 19th, weather permitting, but that is our scheduled end date. And we're on Tuesdays. We're an afternoon market from noon to 4. And, you know, we go from anywhere from 15 to 25 vendors, but it is a fabulous site down at Legion Keener, nice and shady with the trees, playlands down there for the kids. So please come down and see all our vendors. They do a wonderful job with their different vegetables and crafts and things that they sell down there. So it is a nice way to spend your Tuesday. If you want to come down to lunch, we do have a few food vendors, if I can say that, down there too. So it's a nice time to have a lunch down there too. So
okay, so it's basically I would say like an abundance of local fresh produce. You do baked goods.
Flowers? Yeah, there's people down there with produce, baked goods, crafts, like your local jewelry and
right.
Stuff like that. So it is nice, and you know, before we know it, Santa's gonna be coming, so come on down and see us and start your Christmas shopping early.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, no, absolutely. All right. So moving on to the next on my list here, we've got Pooches in the Pool. Now, that sounds like a lot of fun. Tell us about that, Craig.
Yeah, again, we're wrapping up our pool season. The Parks and Rec Department does run Rogers McFeely Memorial Swimming Pool here located in Latrobe, and we have 1 week left, and then we always end up the season with Pooches in the Pool, so it's a time for the dogs and dog lovers and families to come out, and they can swim, and they can also bring their pooch, and their pooch can swim in the pool.
No way. So, that sounds really cool.
Yeah.
Wow. How many people do you get doing that, bringing their dogs?
So we go from anywhere from, 10 families to 20, 25 families. So it all depends on, really, to be honest with you, we haven't had the best weather when we've had Pooches in the Pool for some reason. But, the dogs and the families that do come out really do enjoy it. And it's a unique program. There's not too many pools. You can jump in with your dog and swim around for the afternoon. So, and that is on September 11th. From noon to 2.
Okay.
Again, that's $10 for a family. So that's you and your dog, and if you have anybody else can come and swim. So
that's not bad at all. That's like a pretty fun thing to do. Now my dog would never want to do that. She hates the water. She wouldn't even go out in the rain. But that's pretty fun. All right, so we are getting close to wrapping up, but Do you have any other events you want to share? Anything or any news? Anything that's happening with Parks and Rec that you'd like to share with us?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's, again, exciting time programming-wise because of COVID being over. But we just, we're finishing up a grant, a DCNR grant. So, you know, I just like to say, you know, our tennis courts have been refurbished. We put two pickleball courts in, which is unbelievable, the love of pickleball in this area. We actually started an intro to pickleball class, but every day there's people down there playing pickleball. So that was a home run for us. We renovated the sand volleyball courts, the Legion Keener parking lot. We did two playgrounds here in the city of Latrobe and refurbished three basketball courts and a baseball field. So we've been busy here. So we have a lot of nice facilities. So please stop down and see us in the city of Latrobe and the Greater Latrobe School District.
I have to say that you sounds like you've been incredibly busy. You've got a lot done this year. And I have to say that you have great facilities. When my kids were younger, we were down there all the time. We've used the tennis courts, the play area. Gosh, we've done football. I think you even trained one of my kids in football. When, well, I shouldn't say football. Yeah. I've got to say soccer, haven't I? Not football. Gosh, that's my Britishness. So, yeah, no, it's great. So I do, you know, listeners, do go on down and enjoy all the facilities, everything that's on offer down at Legion Keener Park in Latrobe, because it's fabulous. Craig, it has been wonderful to chat to you. Can you just give the listeners on any online sort of website, Facebook, anything they can find more information?
Yeah. Please visit us at latroberecreation.org, or you can like us on Facebook. And again, it's Latrobe Parks and Recreation on Facebook. You can also find us on Instagram, again, Latrobe Parks and Recreation. And then if you're interested, again, on any Banana Split information, it's bananasplitfest.com.
Fabulous. That is brilliant. You've been a star. Thank you for being a guest. I know you're super busy. Enjoy the festival today and good luck with all the things happening through the fall and winter.
Hey, I appreciate the time. Thank you very much and have a good weekend.
Thank you. This is Heritage Happenings, the show with the latest information on Westmoreland County cultural and historical events and organisations. I'm your guest host, Louise Henry. Thanks to our sponsor, St. Vincent College, for supporting our show today. Before we close, we have a quick announcement to share from St. Vincent College, our show sponsor. St. Vincent College will add three new academic major programmes, as well as a post-baccalaureate certificate programme, for the upcoming fall 2021 semester. The new offerings include a Bachelor of Science program in Business Administration, a Bachelor of Arts program in Digital Humanities, a Bachelor of Science program in Health and Physical Education, and a Post-Baccalaureate Certificate in Science Foundations for Health Professionals. To learn more about each of the new programs, contact the St. Vincent College Office of Administration. Well, that's all we have time for today. Be sure to stay safe and healthy. Take some time to visit and enjoy our Westmoreland County cultural and historic sites and events. And of course, be sure to check out St. Vincent College and all of its recent accomplishments. Follow Westmoreland Heritage on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and check out all of our information on westmorelandheritage.org. This has been Louise Henry, your guest host for Heritage Happenings on 98.7 Westmoreland Gold, 1480 WCNS, and thisisgold.net, sponsored by St. Vincent College. Heritage Happenings is also available as a podcast on all of your favourite streaming services. I hope you've enjoyed today's show. Until next time.
How will your college experience transform you? How will you learn to make a difference in your life and the lives of others? At St. Vincent College, we attract high-achieving students who quite naturally place we ahead of me. A small college like St. Vincent gives you more access to the opportunities that will shape your future.
At St. Vincent College, we succeed together.
Together. Discover the power of we. Learn more now at stvincent.edu.